Okay, it is June 26th, 2006. And could you just state your name, please?
Mick Malez.
Okay, and Mick, when did you begin using computers, and when did you first develop your interest in technology?
I was either 10 or 11, I'm not quite sure. It was 1982 or 83, and my mom bought me an Apple IIe. It was the first time I'd ever seen a computer.
And so are you mainly self-taught, or did you have formal programming?
I'm mainly self-taught. I did take, a computer class in high school. I went to a magnet school for science and technology, so we actually had what was at that time considered to be a supercomputer in our school, and I took a class in college as well, but mainly I taught myself.
And when did you begin contributing to open source projects, and how did you first connect to the open source community?
In 1995 or 96, I started running Linux as my operating system on my home computer. And at that point, I was merely a user of open source software. I didn't actually contribute anything back. Basically, Mozilla was my first open source project that I contributed to.
And when did you start working for Mozilla?
I started working actually with Mozilla Technologies in 1999. I had a startup company back then, and we were planning to do what I guess is now called Web 2.0. Platform applications, but at the time it was DHTML applications, and we also looked into using Zool as a front-end toolkit. And then in 2000, I moved back to the States from Hungary, where I was living at the time, and in 2001, I got a job doing web tools development for Netscape. I wasn't actually a significant contributor to the Mozilla project before then. I, submitted bugs and the like. So I was kind of on the QA side of things until then.
And what Mozilla projects have you worked on over time?
So as a web tools developer, I contributed to Bugzilla in a pretty significant way. I'm responsible for a number of its features, and I also wrote an extension called Forumzilla, which is basically a feed reader for Thunderbird. It is what was eventually integrated into Thunderbird and became Thunderbird's feed reading feature. And I've written a few extensions for Firefox as well.
When you work in groups, how is the division of labor generally determined?
That's a very good question. it's interesting. I'm not sure. There's not, especially with this project, necessarily a very strict or obvious division of labor. We don't have a highly segmented workforce of employees who get assigned by management to do certain tasks. It's self-organizing, and I think that, for the most part, people work on the things that they're most interested in or that they know the best. Mm-hmm. So if something needs to be done and somebody knows how to do it better than everybody else, that's likely to be the person that does it, even if they're not necessarily interested in it.
And how do you generally communicate with those who you work with?
IRC, email, news groups, Bugzilla comments, and occasionally in person.
What do you think works the best? Or if you only had to use like one or two things, would you even want to do that? Do you think that there are too many different ways of communicating with people so it gets confusing ever? Or how does that kind of work for you?
Yeah, it's confusing to, for example, figure out when you should send an email versus a Bugzilla comment versus a news group posting. But in general, there are at least a few different modes of communication that I think are absolutely necessary. Some means of instant communication, like IRC, is really important. Some means of non-instant written communication, like emails, news groups, Bugzilla comments, is also really important. And I think face-to-face time is really crucial sometimes. So, you know, I don't think you could take any one of these away, but it does occasionally get confusing to figure out which one to do when. In particular, it's important to figure out when something should be public and thus should be posted to a news group, and versus something that you need to talk to somebody privately about and thus should send email about.
How important are comments in the code to smooth development?
That's a good question. I think they're pretty significant. People tend to move from project to project within the larger Mozilla project. And so people are frequently starting to work on code that somebody else worked on a long time ago and doesn't work on anymore. And when the code isn't commented, it's, you know, that much harder to figure out why it's doing what it's doing and what you should be doing to fix it if you're fixing it.
Do you ever wish there were more comments in the code, or do you think they're...
Sure. Yeah. No, I think somebody once said that good code should be 2/3 comment and 1/3 code. That's a truism, so I don't know how true it actually is. But I do think that some code is really self-documenting, and so it's obvious what goes on. And for that, it's duplicative and redundant to have a bunch of comments explaining it. But when code is not like that, or when there are, you know, unstated assumptions, it's really valuable to have a comment that explains why it works the way it does. So yeah, I'd like more comments in the code.
And would you say that strict ownership of specific areas of code is enforced?
To some degree. I don't think that we have as clear a sense of ownership as we would like to. There are parts of the code that are effectively unowned at this point, and there are other parts of the code where it's not clear who owns it. But so not entirely.
And in those instances, does an owner ever sort of arise?
Sure. People start working on a piece of code. They get review from, say, one of the module owners for the Firefox project as a whole, and eventually get recognized as an owner of that code.
Did people ever sort of ask to be an owner? Like, I'm interested in this section. How about I take it over since nobody else sort of is? Or is it more like...
Is
it a little bit more subtle?
I think people have asked to be made owners of code that they've been working on. Occasionally people will come into the project and say, I want to do this. And will you make me will you anoint me the person in charge of doing this? In general, we don't do that. Because it's just not very likely that someone with that attitude is actually going to contribute something. It's much more likely for us to get contributors who come in and say, I really want to do this, and so I've gone and done it. Or, here's some code that represents what I want to do, and I'm going to keep on working in this direction. And for that person ultimately to get ownership of the code. That's also true in non-code areas as well, UI review and documentation. In general, when people have shown up in the documentation news group and said, hey, I want to help, what can I do? Those people don't end up doing anything. People who show up and say, I've written this document because I noticed that there's this hole.
We could play it back.
Have you ever clashed with another developer over a particular point of code, and so how do you generally resolve those disputes?
Sure. I can't recall a specific case right now, but I know it's happened. You resolve the disputes through discussion. You try to figure out where they're coming from, and they try to hopefully figure out where you're coming from, and either you realize that you don't really have a dispute at all, or you agree to disagree.
How much communication and coordination is there between those who sort of work on the front end and those who work on the back end?
I think that there's a fair amount. Because as the front end evolves, it requires changes to the back end. Mm-hmm. And it's really necessary for front end developers to talk to the back end guys about it in order to make that stuff happen.
Do you feel that there are ever, like natural divisions or tensions between these two groups? And if so, how do they sort of get around that?
To be honest with you, I haven't spent so much time focused on the Firefox front end or back end that I can say with any authority.
To what extent has Mozilla relied on the work of volunteers, and has that reliance changed over time?
So I think, obviously, before we open sourced the code, before Netscape open sourced the code, there were no volunteers. I wasn't around for the first couple of years, so I don't know the trajectory. But by the time I showed up in about 2000, 2001, there were a significant body of volunteers working on the code. Percentage-wise, I'm not sure. After we founded the foundation, the foundation initially was a very small group of people, and I think we relied to a great degree on volunteers, defined broadly as both people, who just are interested and want to participate as a hobby, and also people who are paid to work on the project but not paid by the foundation. I don't know if you'd really call those volunteers. The corporation is now larger than the foundation was when it was founded. I think that we still, to a significant degree, rely on the contributions of volunteers in our community. We're not obviously capable of taking on the evolution of a project of this magnitude on our own, and I don't think that's our intention either.
Why do you think people volunteer?
Well, because it's fun, and because it has a high impact. It's a way of actually making a noticeable difference in the world.
Do you ever see that perhaps people who volunteer for different reasons, if say they have different motivations, are there sort of conflicts among those groups? Like if somebody just does it for fun and then somebody else is doing it because they're like passionate for open source, for example.
Well, sure. There are people who have a kind of an ethical or moral position on open source. They do it because they think it's the right thing to do. And there are other people for whom it's just practical, a good way of developing software. And I think that people sometimes clash who have differing assumptions, about why one should do open source in that regard.
And when that happens, do you see volunteers working with one another, or does the sort of like paid employee staff get involved to help resolve disputes?
I don't think that there's such a clear line between volunteer and paid employee staff in the community. And I think that's a good thing. I think our intention as paid employees is to be treated as and perceived as regular members of the community, and to take seriously the meritocratic approach that the community takes towards granting authority. Mm-hmm. So we're not authoritative in resolving disputes or making decisions because we are paid employees, but because we, developed esteem over time.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think Mozilla, and in particular Firefox, has been able to attract such a large number of users?
I think that it's a combination of factors. One is that we worked for a really long time to create a very good product. Starting in 1998, when they open sourced the software, we worked to build a browser, at one point to virtually rebuild it from scratch, and then improve on it until we reached a point where we had a very good product. And it just so happened that around that time, people were getting really frustrated with the, you know, monopoly product that they had been using. And we were in a good position to offer a very good alternative.
And what sets it apart, do you think, from other open source projects?
Well, certainly in size and scope, I think that we're much larger than many other open source projects. We're certainly relatively unique in the way in which we combine, you know, open source volunteerism with paid employment. And I think we have a relentless focus, maybe not yet relentless enough, on making the most usable interface for our users rather than merely scratching our own itches and making something that we'd like to use.
Mm-hmm. How would you list Mozilla's priorities today, and how do you think this might compare with its priorities in 1998? I know you weren't here at the time, but from what you know, how do you think maybe the priorities have shifted over time, or have they?
That's a very good question. I don't think I really know the answer to that.
Do you think that open source principles have affected the marketing of Mozilla, in particular Firefox?
To some degree. I don't think that in our marketing we particularly focus on that.
What's the focus of the marketing?
I think the focus is generally usability, security, speed.
I guess I mean like the manner in which things are marketed by, for example, the Spread Firefox campaign where volunteers to help out.
Right.
Do you think that marketing is something that can be done by largely by the community, or do you think that there that professional marketers are sort of needed to guide a community like that?
Well, I'm not an expert on marketing. I don't really know. It's a very good question. I think that Firefox was a success in terms of its product via a combination of volunteers and paid professional staff. So I'm not sure that that's necessarily that you can make the same assumption about marketing that it's also successful via a combination, or whether the open source community as a whole can mostly take over marketing. I just don't know. That's a very good question. I haven't thought much about that.
Define a successful open source project? Like, what elements or practices do you see as necessary for a successful project?
I think a successful project has regular development, releases, and use. So a stable base of users and regular development and, periodic releases.
Do you have experience working on commercial products, software products?
I've worked on a number of software products, but not ones that were sold, only projects that were used in-house. Mm-hmm. So proprietary, but not commercial.
Did you find that different than working on open source? Did you find the work environment different, or the process different, or?
Well, obviously much smaller teams and much clearer sense of authority through a management chain as opposed to meritocracy. So, yeah, quite a bit different.
And do you prefer one or the other, or do you find one more efficient?
I prefer working on open source projects. I find them vastly more enjoyable to work on. I much prefer working on them.
Do you consider open source software as a public service?
Yes.
And do you think that most people you work with think about it in that way?
I think it's a mixed bag. I think for some people that matters, and for others it's not that important.
What, if anything, do you think the popularity of Firefox will do for open source as a whole?
I think it is likely to make open source a more serious alternative to proprietary software in the eyes of corporate IT people. I don't think users at this point, unless and until open source is marketed seriously to them as a, you know, as a different way of building the software they use, will care that much. I don't think they know that much at this point.
Would you like to see the marketing of it sort of explain it a little bit better?
Yes. I do think it actually could matter to consumers.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that sort of open source techniques can be applied to other areas of production? Like I already sort of mentioned marketing. And do you think it has a potential to be sort of a broader movement reaching beyond software?
So I apparently there are some efforts to do legal work in an open source fashion. I don't know how successful they've been. There are certainly are principles behind open source, like openness and collaboration, and that could be beneficial to other areas of production. I don't know whether there's something unique to open source.
And this is really broad, but what do you think the future of open source is for either Mozilla or for just the broader movement?
I think we're going to take over software development. I think we'll be the dominant way of building software in the future.
Do you see, like, kind of a timetable? Like, when you say you're take over, do you mean, like, it? In thinking of browsers, for example, like, are you thinking of market share, or are you thinking of development?
I'm thinking of percentage of software in use worldwide, which is open source, which is developed via an open source model.
So market share.
Market share of open source software generally, yeah.
And do you see like a timetable of a point where it's more than 50%? For example, or not quite.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
And it could, you know, go the other way too. We're not guaranteed victory, certainly.
Do you have any questions? Okay, well, thanks so much for talking.
Thank you.